please, for our first reading to Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to apologize in advance. I'll try to do it just once, but I'm going to apologize in advance for my scratchiness and occasional coughing. I'm very sorry. I hope they are not too distracting. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Excuse me. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb that liveth," and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have in this chapter a continuation of that throne room scene that we began last week in chapter 4. And if you remember I told you last week that chapters 4 and 5 are of a piece, and that the entirety of the book truly hinges upon chapters 4 and 5. Because in chapters 4 and 5 we have a follow-up, if you will, to seven churches, letters written to seven churches that are indicative of all the churches of the interadvenial age between Christ's first and second coming, and that during that time we see a mixed blessing, don't we, for the church. We see a people persecuted, we see a people sustained, we see a people that have their internal difficulties and struggles and sins. We see a people that are blessed by the Lord and kept by Him and held by His mighty hand. We see those pastors of the churches as they are those candles, those stars in the midst of the hand of Christ. And all of that is true. And so we see a people then that are looking into the future, and they look at all of those blessings, but they look at all of those difficulties as well. And so chapters 4 and 5, as they introduce those things that shall come hereafter, at the beginning of chapter 4, that's what John says, or the angel says to John. What we see then is, in what comes hereafter, what will it look like for the people of God? What will it look like for them? Will they be a people poor and persecuted? Will they be a people triumphant? Will they be a people that ride upon the high places of the earth? Or will they be a people that are drug upon the rocks? What will it be? And we might say that in every age of the church, since the days that Christ went to be with His Father, that we've seen both, haven't we? We have seen some wonderful days of triumph, and we have seen some wonderful in the sense of who would have guessed it, some very difficult days, some hard times for the church. Those of you who have studied church history know that it has not always been a rosy path for the church. It has not always been a rose garden, if you will. In that many days, the church has been beset with tribulation and persecution and trial. And that there are also good times as well, times of great reformation, times of revival, times of drawing near unto the Lord, times of drawing near unto His Word and hearing it. But who's in charge of all of that? Who directs those events? Who is, can I ask it this way, on the throne? And this is what chapters 4 and 5 tell us. Chapters 4 and 5 tell us that this time that is about to come, this hereafter that John speaks about, that right at the front of that hereafter is Christ and the Father on the throne. That what happens, what takes place, does not take place because the world has seemed to spun out of control, out of the hands of God. Not at all. So, that's what we saw last week in chapter 4 as we introduced it. Now, in this week, we have this even more detailed for us. And so John saw. He saw last week, we saw in chapter 4, that there was a presence upon the throne, and it was glorious and bright and bespeckled with jewels and glory and brightness and light and power and lightning and thunders and all of those terms that we use to describe that majesty of God. Now, while John did not see a particular personage, a particular form that he described, now he at least sees a hand. And in the right hand of the one who sat on the throne is a scroll. And it is a scroll that is written front side and backside and rolled up, and it is full. And it is sealed with seven seals. Now, I cannot say how John knew it was sealed with seven seals. Because let me explain to you what those scrolls look like. There was a writing that went to a particular portion. Then that scroll was rolled up, and there was a wax seal placed in on the inside of that scroll. And then it was rolled up farther. And then there was more writing. And then it was rolled up again and sealed. Rolled up again and sealed. And so seven times this scroll was rolled up and sealed. And there was a seal on the outside of it. That was the final, the seventh seal. Of course, we understand that seven is a very particularly important number, especially to John. If you read John's Gospel, you understand there are seven discourses, seven miracles, and so on. Although Jesus did many miracles, John gives us seven. Seven is a big number to the Apostle John. And so here we have it, that John is depicting in this prophetic glimpse that he gives us. This scroll, it is sealed with seven seals. Of course, that's that seven-sealed scroll we might understand as the entirety of the decree of God. His pursuit of creation and redemption. And of course, we understand, we've heard this from this pulpit before, that creation only serves the ends of redemption. And so we have then this great and timeless decree of redemption. And it is held in the right hand, the hand of power of the one who sits on the throne. So then, a strong angel stands. A strong angel proclaims, "Who is worthy to take the scroll? Who is worthy to approach the one who sits on the throne, who is surrounded by brightness and glory, the throne from which thunders and lightnings proceed? Who is worthy to step up and to execute the eternal redemptive decree?" That's the question that is asked. And John, for his part, looks round. The angel looks round and no one steps up. There's no one at the first part of the narrative to step up and to execute the decree of redemption. And John says, "And I wept much because there was no one able, no one found worthy." What is the question of the angel? Who is worthy? What is the answer of John at the first? No one was found worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. John says, "I wept much." That decree of redemption is a shut, a sealed up book, a sealed up scroll. Then one of the elders. Now, you remember from last week, we have the angels and the elders. And the elders, the 24 elders gathered about the throne, they represented the church, didn't they? At that heavenly throne room scene, the 24 elders, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, the church of the Old Testament and the church of the New, the former church and the present church. And so we have then one of those elders. It is interesting, don't you think, that it is the angel that cries out, "Who is worthy?" And then it is the elder that says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, has overcome." He is the Nike, the overcomer. And it is interesting that it is one of the elders that says that, because every time in Scripture when angels are involved in the preaching of the gospel, they're really not. They're not involved. You remember in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius? Cornelius is praying and fasting, and an angel appears to him and he says, "Your alms are heard before God. Now I want you to wait right here until we bring somebody to preach you the gospel." It's not the angel's job. It's not the angel's duty to preach the gospel. It is indeed the duty of the church. And so the elder rises up and he says, what? "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He has overcome. And he will indeed take the scroll and loose the seals, for he is worthy." Notice, if I can just kind of give you a glimpse toward the end of the chapter here, the question is asked at the front of the chapter, "Who is worthy to take the scroll?" And what is the cry of the multitudes at the end of the chapter? "Thou art worthy to take the scroll." So the focus now is being honed in upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John hears a noise behind him, and he has heard the proclamation of the elder, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And so turning, what would he expect to see? A lion-like figure. And what he sees is a lamb. He sees the crucified Christ. He sees the one who has prevailed by virtue of his suffering. One who has prevailed by virtue of his death. One who has prevailed by virtue of his sacrifice. That is how Christ prevails. He conquers death by dying and rising from the dead. He satisfies the justice of God by receiving to himself the punishment that was due to us for our sins. So John says, he turned and he saw a lamb. Now there's one more thing I want to tell you about the scroll before we go farther. How is a scroll put together? How is it made? In what sequence is it made. The way this scroll is put together here is indicative of the omniscience of God in His decree. You say, Pastor, now you're stretching it. No, I don't think we're stretching it at all. The scroll is written on both sides, and then it is sealed. And so, if we write on both sides of this scroll, roll it up and seal it, then we write again on two sides, roll it up and seal it, then we write again on two sides, roll it up and seal it. Let me ask you this question. Think with me for a minute. When we break the first seal, are we reading that which was written first or that which was written last? We are reading that which was written last, because He knows the end from the beginning. And so this decree of redemption is written on both sides, and the first is written up, but that's what takes place last. The second is sealed up, and that's what takes place second to last. The third is written and all the way down, and so we can take great comfort in that the decree of redemption, in that decree, the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And nothing that He writes will not come to pass. Everything that He writes will come to pass. So, then we have this lamb as it had been slain. And so notice the character of this lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who has overcome. Verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Notice where the lamb is found. He's found in the midst of the throne. No one else is worthy to be there. Only the one who sits on the throne and the lamb. They're the only ones who are there. Notice that he is seen as a lamb and not a lion. And so we think of his sacrificial death, his humility and his condescension. We think of his victory in his lamb-likeness. And we also understand with the apostle that Christ will appear a second time apart from sin. He will come like that lion. He is a lion and he is a lamb. He is both. He has the characteristics of both with him. He has seven horns. That is, he is perfect in power. And he has seven eyes. That is, he is perfect in knowledge. And here those seven eyes are also described as the seven spirits of God, or I think more properly, interpretively, the sevenfold Spirit of God, or the perfection of God's Spirit. That Christ has the Spirit of God without measure, and He can send it to whom He will. So then in verse 7, notice what He did. He did something that no one else can do or ever will do. Verse 7, and He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne. Do you understand what John is saying here? John is telling us that this lion figure, that this lamb figure is also God. He is the only one worthy in heaven or on earth to approach the throne of the one who sat there, who from whom that glorious throne, and in His right hand, the hand of His power, is His decree, and He goes up there and takes that scroll from Him. Notice that there is no wrestling. There is no give me that. That the Father gives it to Him. The Son receives. And so the Son is, if you will, the executor of the eternal decree. It is Christ who opens the seals of the book. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the executor of the will of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who enacts what He and His Father have put into place from all eternity. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who takes the scroll and one by one by one, breaking those seals and executing that eternal and redemptive decree. And so this is not particularly a time-bound look here. This is thematic, prophetic, of the entirety of the redemptive decree from the beginning of time until the end, until the last day, the day of the trumpet. And brothers and sisters, it's very important that we understand that it was the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of Adam, in the days of Noah, in the days of Abraham, in the days of Moses, in the days of David, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ opening the seals. It was in those days that it was Christ who was executing that eternal and redemptive decree. So, the adoration then of the Lamb. When the Lamb ascends to that throne and takes the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. They fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. They were singing a song before. Now they sing a new song. That is a song that witnesses to the redemption of Jesus Christ. A song that witnesses to His prosecution of the eternal decree. And what do they sing? Notice at the beginning of the book, who is worthy? In verse 9, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Brothers and sisters, it is indeed only through the overcoming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the conqueror, the Nikos, is only through Him that any are delivered from the wrath to come. But it is not just deliverance from wrath. It is indeed to have a seat with the 24 elders before the throne. Not on the throne. Let's get ourselves off of the throne, but around the throne. Our place is seen very, very clearly in this chapter. We are seen prostrate before the throne, praising Christ, praising God the Father and the Lamb for that great decree of redemption and the opening of the seals. Notice that Christ is indeed praised for His authority to arise, to take the scroll, and to execute its contents. And so then, from that point, we see in verse 11, many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So the entirety of the redeemed, the entirety of the heavenly host, the elect angels, and all of the church, we see then in this prophetic scene, are gathered about the throne. And notice at this point then, the praise is not just for the Lamb, but it is for the Father, the one who sits upon the throne, and the Lamb. And they are indeed worshipped together. This is one of those great testimonies to the full and unmitigated deity of Jesus Christ, who receives worship from the entirety of the heavenly host and the glorified saints, here given in prophetic vision. Thus ends the reading then of Revelation chapter 5. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.